Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Monday, the 20th of April at 6:31. Coming up in today's show, we'll be talking about major reforms in the bidding rules for big projects, and we'll be looking at executive pensions and all the markets at the start of another week. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at those international stories in the newspapers and websites in the company of Kathleen Brooks, Director of Research with XTB. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Joe.
I hope you had a lovely weekend, and I hope you're due to get some good weather over the next few weeks as well.
Yes.
Now, shall we start with oil prices? How have they got on overnight, given the fact that they were down radically on Friday, but there's been a few bits of news, put it that way, over the straits?
Yeah, there has, Joe. So it's not great news this morning for the stock market bulls, that's for sure. Stock markets are set to open much lower and reverse some of those Friday moves. We're also seeing the oil prices up 7%. So we've seen a kind of a real reversal from where we were, because the Strait of Hormuz is closed again and the US has actually captured an Iranian tanker. So we've seen an escalation in the situation. It looks like peace talks that were scheduled for today have been cancelled. So Iran has walked away from them. And the ceasefire actually ends on Wednesday. So this comes at a really delicate time. Very hard to know what comes next, because we know that Donald Trump has a history of escalating situations to then de-escalate them. So very news-driven markets, I'd say, in the next couple of days.
And interestingly, I was surprised at how muted Asian markets were overnight. There was no major spike downwards. I thought there'd be a major sell-off. But as you say, the futures market in Europe look as if there's going to be a little bit of a sell-off, and all the losses for the likes of BP and Shell, i.e. they lost a lot of money on Friday, they're probably going to see gains this morning, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a big reversal from those Friday moves. Yeah. Because again, we didn't see, Friday was the announcement that the strait was open. We immediately saw the oil price fall below $90 per barrel, but it didn't actually go back to the level that it was before. Likewise, stock markets, they rallied really hard. Stock markets in the US have reached fresh record highs. You can't really sustain those record highs when you've got this uncertainty there. So it's more kind of a pulling back and just a little bit of a normalization, just a realization that this conflict is still going on.
Yes, but it's definitely not normalization for the airlines sector.
No.
I see that Spirit Airlines and maybe even JetBlue are on a watch list.
Yeah, absolutely. A watch list for bankruptcy. In fact, Spirit Airlines is already in its second bankruptcy. And JetBlue hasn't really made a profit in 6 years. Now, basically, these airlines in the US they were coming into this conflict in a very weak position, but that compares with the kind of traditional legacy airlines like Delta, like United. I mean, Delta Airlines has had its best run in years. In 2025, it made $5 billion. It's kind of unheard of in the airline industry. But this spike in jet fuel, the energy crisis is really kind of causing a bit of a division even more. Now, what Delta did after COVID, it really pivoted to business class travel, to first class travel. And now 95% of its customers, get this, right? They earn over $100,000.
95%?
95%. And this year, they will be virtually all of the new seats that they put on board their aircraft are going to be in business or first class. So they are really targeting that passenger, which is very resilient, still booking all the business class flights, spending thousands of dollars on flights. But those who are looking for economy, looking to fly more cheaply, basically, there's not been too much loyalty in that place, because in that space, because people will look for the best deals. And that has really eaten away at profit margins. Now, it has done already to people like JetBlue, to Spirit, as we mentioned. But what you could see is that those are the airlines that are going to be really struggling in the aftermath of this, that may not survive it, which will just make it even harder for, essentially it will just boost the coffers even more for the likes of Delta and United. And we'll all have to start paying up for flights going forward, especially if these airlines do go bust, because the crisis just goes on and on and they can't afford the jet fuel.
Indeed. And we're watching European airlines also potentially add surcharges as well. Now, Meta, the owner of WhatsApp and others, it's cutting 10% of its global workforce.
Yes, this has been a bit of a trend in the tech space, particularly those Magnificent Seven tech stocks. Amazon has done it. We're hearing kind of cuts everywhere. Even Microsoft has done it. So Meta, we'll announce results in the next couple of weeks. And we're expecting, yeah, some large job losses. It's not the first time they've done it. It's looking at about kind of 8,000 jobs globally. So it's unclear where they're going to be. But obviously, Meta has gone hell for leather for AI spend. The
just
irony
like
is
they went, they went hell for leather for the metaverse, and that didn't work out very well.
That didn't work out, no. So they are spending, you know, they spent over $200 billion on AI, including now a little hologram of Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, why you can't just be on a phone call when he speaks to his employees, I've got no idea. But it will probably be this avatar that's telling everyone they're going to lose their jobs. But it's an unstable sector at the moment, the tech sector, on job side, because of all its AI spend. So it's willing to spend into, you know, boost its capital expenditures, invest in AI infrastructure. But that comes at a cost, and that's coming at a cost to the employees, some of the employees.
Now, staying with the tech sector, a company called Palantir, mm-hmm. they're in the security and data crunching business.
Yeah.
They published something that could be described as a manifesto at the weekend, which is unusual enough. But quite a few people have been exercised by it, to put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, this is a controversial company. And I mean, this manifesto is just, it's just another layer of controversy that it's added. So you're right. It's a 22-point brief from the founder, Alex Karp. And it's actually from his new book called The Technological Republic. It's framed very strangely. I don't know if you've seen it. You've read it. It's framed very strangely as like a response to frequent inquiries. I just don't actually believe that at all, because I don't know who would make these inquiries. But it's a strange mix of the impact of technology plus some like kind of ideological claims about the West and civilization and the responsibility of Silicon Valley. So at its heart, it says that Silicon Valley has this big debt to America because America has really helped finance all of these big tech firms, and that free email is no longer enough. They need to play a much more active role in the US and the West's national security and its economic strength. That's, as you can imagine, causing a lot of controversy. But, you know, as I mentioned, Palantir is very controversial anyway. They provide software for ICE in the US, which mm-hmm. have obviously been linked to a lot of deportations of immigrants.
They also do stuff for the UK government as well, which is controversial.
Yeah, they do. They have a lot of, it's controversial both positive and negative, actually, because it's been, the NHS use it and they've invested heavily in it. And it's seen as being one of the key things in the future to reduce waiting lists because of the data analytics that they can go through. It has kind of a mixed reputation, but it also provides a lot of defense and intelligence technology to the White House. So that, I think, is causing a lot of angst. So you've got congressional Democrats, they're calling for more transparency from Palantir because it has a lot of power in a huge number of government. It has a huge number of government contracts. I mean, you know, it's got like $12 billion of them. It's not one of the mega cap tech firms, but it has grown rapidly in recent years. So I don't see that this manifesto will be enough, but, you know, unsurprisingly, the manifesto doesn't mention these controversies. And instead, it advances a kind of narrative about cultural decline in the West and the need for a renewed purpose. So I think it kind of sets up kind of two sides. The West is good, everyone else is bad. But it could actually be almost like a wind-up effort to anger the leftists. And I think
it did a good job over the weekend.
It did
a very good job. Kathleen, thanks so much for joining us, and have a great, great week. That's Kathleen Brooks from XTB.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.